And we're going first to the Pride that is taking place this afternoon in Budapest. You've been hearing in the news all week about the controversy that surrounds this year's Pride Parade in the Hungarian capital following a ban voted through by Parliament in spring, which basically prohibits public gatherings that are deemed to violate child protection laws. This ban includes Pride and other LGBTQI plus events. And the mayor of Budapest has ultimately defied the order, and indeed further warnings issued as late as yesterday by Prime Minister Viktor Orban, who declared today's Pride events under the mayor would ultimately go ahead despite those warnings from Viktor Orban. So the march is getting underway shortly in Budapest. It's been attended by many politicians from across the European Union, including Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South, Cynthia Niewiercu. And I was speaking to her shortly before we came on air and started by asking her what the atmosphere is like there amid expectations of record-breaking numbers to attend the parade.
The atmosphere is very good, but obviously we're very mindful of security. My sense of the atmosphere so far is that the police presence that I've seen as I've travelled around the city over the course of the morning is that it's quiet. It's present, but it's quiet. We've also seen some cars and we've been told it could be the Secret Service and so forth. But I assume that's to perhaps give the semblance of a very calm parade that will happen. But I wouldn't like anybody to be sucked in by that and to think that it will all unfold very peacefully. There is great solidarity here from most of the countries of Europe. And we have great solidarity from Ireland and indeed from Renew Europe, which is my group in the European Parliament, and indeed other groups such as SND and also the Greens and also the Left and so forth. Marie Walsh is here, the sole EPP member, and fair play to her for coming. But and Roderick O'Gorman, of course, is here, TD, Chachtadala. So, yes, the mood is good, but we're cautious. We've had a security briefing in relation to what to watch out for, staying together. We also have an apps, a communication app to be safe, because we've been told that the internet will go down as soon as we reach the parade area.
And on that security briefing that you've just had, we know during the week the Justice Commissioner, Michael McGrath, wrote to the Hungarian authorities around plans potentially for use of facial recognition software. So what very practical guidance are you being given today?
Yes, well, the guidance we're being given, as I say, is we have apps. We've been told what to wear, what not to wear, where to exit, where not to exit. We've been given maps which are functional when we're offline, when there's no internet, and another mode of communication as well. And in fairness, Anya, and to the listeners, the route is changing as we speak and has changed throughout the course of the morning. So we are very mindful that there's four groups that have been permitted to march today also to protest against us having a peaceful march, peaceful protest. And so there will be or could be flashpoints. So it's those flashpoints that are being avoided by the reconfiguration of the parade route. But you know what? I just want to say that it's so important to be here, because Hungary and its recent laws, they've created a deeply hostile environment for LGBTQ plus people and those communities. And I spoke to them last night and they are fearful, some of them terrified, visibly shaking and thanking me for coming and all the other MEPs. They've introduced a slew of laws and amended the constitution to prohibit assemblies that support this community. They effectively then, of course, banned Pride. And the basis of these laws in the 2021 propaganda law, it bans the representation of LGBTQ plus identities in education, media, advertising. They have pulled back on adoption for same-sex couples and also for medical intervention in cases of infertility on the social system. And it goes on and on. So my view is this decay cannot be allowed to eat into the rest of Europe.
And given those legislative changes since 2021 by Viktor Orban, what powers does the European Union have, MEPs such as yourselves, to actually have consequences here? What can be done? What should be done? What will actually happen when it comes to, you know, whether it's funding, vetoes, the seat at the table for someone like Viktor Orban, who would now appear to be massively at odds with a lot of the values of the European Union?
Absolutely. He's chipping away very, very steadily over the last 15 years. So what can we do? Article 7 of the Treaties of the European Union, it's a procedure to suspend certain rights of member states. There is no mechanism, as I understand it, to expel a state, but certainly I'm calling on the Commission, the Council, to invoke Article 7 because there is, of course, evidence of breaches of all of those conditions that that Hungary signed up to and that Orban on their behalf signed up to, and he is not abiding by them, and he's clearly breaching the fundamental values of European law.
It could take some time, of course, to let the Article 7 representations and a case to see are there infringement issues against Hungary, and given that that will take time, and yes, you have a pride parade today that is in effect banned, but the mayor of the city is going ahead with it. What does it say in the short term to other countries around European Union? Have you concerns around this could be a green light to other member states when it comes to the treatment of gay, trans, other minority groups?
Absolutely. Yes, Anya, I'm here with colleagues from Slovakia, Slovenia and countries that are closer to Hungary, and they are deeply worried about this decay that I spoke about eating into their countries, and they're already seeing it. They are seeing violence, they are seeing threats, and worse than that, they are seeing murders of gay people. But just to get back to the Commission, Commission has already sanctioned Budapest, and Budapest is losing out on some millions of euros in EU funds that the Commission is withholding over breaches of the European law. So more of that needs to be actioned and more infringement proceedings.
We know Viktor Orban has said there will be quote-unquote legal consequences for those organising, participating in the parade today. Have you talked to the mayor of Budapest, who has been especially signalled out given the leadership role he has taken today?
Yes, I have spoken to the mayor last night, and he hosted us in the City Hall at a special gathering for all the supporters who had come and gathered. The mayor is an extremely brave person, and he is taking a stance. He's not the only one, of course, because we have the judiciary here in this country standing out and speaking publicly, I think a couple of months ago, because the judiciary are deeply, deeply concerned about their independence being completely fettered and interfered with by Orban. So, yes, the facial recognition is something we've been told about, we've been warned about and so forth, and also the issuance of fines on the spot. But I'm happy to say that it's very important to be here. That's the most important thing, because the perpetrator of the interference with human rights is Viktor Orban.
Okay, before we let you go, Cynthia Niwuraku, the Irish Independent on its front page today is carrying an interview with the former Education Minister, Mary Hanafin, who has said, quote unquote, I'm in the mix. And she confirmed to the Irish Independent she has had a conversation with Micheál Martin about potentially contesting the presidency later this year. You may have seen your own picture inside the newspaper there today. You are also mentioned as a potential candidate. Have you spoken to Micheál Martin, or have you spoken to anyone in Fianna Fáil about being a candidate?
Anya, I've spoken to nobody. I've canvassed nobody, and nobody has canvassed me.
Would you like to be canvassed? Would you like to have a conversation with Micheál Martin similar to Mary Hanafin?
I tell you, I'm extremely happy in the role that I'm actually engaged with now as an MEP. There are a lot of issues, and particularly today, it's about minorities and it's about people who want to have their democratic rights upheld. And that's what's important for me.
But you're not ruling it out. Like, you'd have the credentials, the experience, the expertise. Could you be a candidate?
Can I just say, when I was asked 12 months ago, or perhaps 16 months ago, would I run as an MEP, I didn't rule it out either. But politics is very unexpected, as you well know. But right now, I have to say the most important thing on this day, Pride, is to make sure that everybody comes behind our gay community right throughout the European Union.
And that was Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South, Cynthia Niwuraku, speaking to me just before we came on air. Minister Neil Richmond, you were listening there to Cynthia Niwuraku. She mentioned your own colleague, Emrea Walsh, in attendance today. It's not that long ago that Fine Gael was part of the same bloc, the European People's Party group in the European Union that Viktor Orban's party was a part of. They removed themselves before they were facing ultimately a vote that could have led to their removal. What's your view on this particular ban today?
Well, firstly, can I start off by wishing everyone a happy Pride? This is a really important day, and I think the scenes in Budapest remind us just how far we've come in a short period of time. I was actually at the meeting of the EPP when we suspended Fidesz over 5 years ago, and as you mentioned, they withdrew just before their expulsion vote was about to come. And I remark, well, I've been involved in European politics for 20 years. Only. I remember Fidesz being a relatively normal party of the centre to centre right, and the descent to autocratic totalitarian rule in Hungary and the rhetoric of Viktor Orban has been absolutely harrowing, because not only are they targeting our LGBT plus brothers and sisters today in Pride, but this is the government that is blocking the European Union from properly supporting Ukraine through the European Peace Fund. This is the government that is blocking the European Union from taking real action against Israel and providing real support to Gaza.
So what can be done? Like, we know the Justice Commissioner, Michael McGrath, he's been writing to Hungarian authorities. There is the potential for launching infringement proceedings. That could all take a long time. So what can be done?
Well, I think you have to remember that infringement proceedings have already been started. They started quite some time ago based on repression of democratic rights, changes to the constitution in Hungary in relation to the appointment to the judiciary. So they are underway, and we have seen not just some million euro, as Cynthia referred to, but hundreds of million of euro withdrawn from Hungary, particularly during the COVID-19 crisis, particularly as part of the European recovery after the energy crisis. Similar actions were actually taken against Poland, but thankfully Poland changed government and now led by the EPP's Donald Tusk. They are reasserting themselves as a liberal Western democracy. Viktor Orban won the last election by 2%. So I don't know what's going to come first, more European sanction and interaction or the democratic mood of the people of Hungary.
Conor D. McGuinness for Sinn Féin, to bring you in there. When you look at the scenes already from Ireland, in contrast, and we'll have to see what comes from Budapest in the next few hours, but tens of thousands of people in Dublin today, and yet we see this taking place in a climate where there's homophobia and so many incidents and reports of it, and it would seem like an increasing lack of tolerance for minority groups. Pride weekend, does it take on an even greater importance in a country like Ireland this weekend?
Anya, it returns to its roots. It began as a Stonewall riot, as you know, against police brutality and the singling out of the LGBT community for abuse and for infringement on their rights. And Pride has always been a protest. It's about community, it's about visibility, it's about equality, and it's crucially, at its core, it's about solidarity. So it's really important that here in Ireland that we're sending solidarity to those marching on the streets in Dublin, but also in Budapest. But I see this as a bit of a backslide and an outworking, I think, of the European Union's inability to strike a consistent message on the upholding of fundamental rights. And that has emboldened Viktor Orban, it has emboldened the Hungarian government, and it has emboldened others to infringe on rights, the rights of the LGBT community to gather, to mobilise, to exist in many cases, to exist visibly in society. But we see it as well in the backsliding on the right to protest. We've seen that in Germany. We see it on that retreat from fundamental rights of the European Union, on human rights internationally. And we've seen that most critically, we'll say, with regards to the situation in Gaza and the West Bank.
Michael Fitzmaurice, to bring you in there, you'll hear Conor mention several times the word important and importance. Do you believe it's really important for Pride parades to take place across the country, across this weekend?
I think they're fully entitled to have their pride parades. I think that it's disgraceful that there's such a threat on them by Viktor Orban. When you look at the people that vote for Viktor Orban, I see he has four terms. You see an awful difference coming in Europe. That's the big worry I see at the moment. You look at the moment, you have that going on today. You look during the week where Ursula von der Leyen, that the likes of Neil's party supported, hasn't the guts to stand up to Israel. You look at the likes of Donald Tusk, who has been, and who is supposed to be a pro-European, has basically decided that he's going to do his own thing in the line of immigration in Europe. You look at some of the big countries basically driving along. You look at in a wider scale.
And so it's more important than ever
I think there's huge splinters coming in the European project when you look at all these different sort of parts of it that sort of, going back and basically not adhering to the laws that's there, first of all, and second of all, doing their own thing. And there seems to be, we're not getting the support in the Occupied Territories Bill. We see that there's big countries that have different agendas doing their own thing. And it seems to be that a lot of countries now are starting to basically not believe in the European project like they were up to now, in my opinion.
But you still believe in it, and ultimately what Ireland is standing for in a moment like this when it comes to diversity and inclusion and equality?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Everybody, you know, everyone's entitled to have their day out and celebrate.
Great. You mentioned Israel and Gaza and other things there. We will come back to them later in the show, and we'll be keeping an eye on how events unfold in Budapest for the next hour. But we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back talking to shoppers in Galway about the cost of the weekly shop.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.